Seth?
Do they know there's nothing there?
Greetings, you beautiful people. This is Karen Tallcat Conley with Psychic 101. We're finally on the air. I've got a great show for you tonight. It's called Close Encounters of the Mount Adams Kind. Listener discretion advised, this program may alter your view of the universe. So, what would you call a former California real estate surfer dude that watches the night sky and communicates with advanced beings? You would call him James Gilliland. That's what you would call him. Host of As You Wish Radio on BBS and creator of ACT, Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence. He is speaking with us live tonight from his ranch near Mount Adams, also known as a paranormal hotspot and ET airport. For those of you that don't know what makes James different from most UFO guys, there's a couple of things that stand out. For one thing, his extensive documentation, video, photos, thousands of eyewitness reports from pilots, air traffic controllers, Air Force base commanders, alphabet agencies, and people from all walks of life. The other thing that makes him different is his message. At his UFO conference table, you won't find pieces of wreckage or hear stories of ET monsters poking humans with rectal probes, x-rays, or placing implants in human brains. No, his message from the ETs is harmony, universal principles, and brotherly, sisterly love. So, James, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show.
And tell us, how did you move from surfer dude to UFO guy?
Well, I drowned myself is what happened. And
now, that's a transition.
Yeah, I had the near-death experience, went through the tunnel, and then, I was on an intense spiritual journey after that, trying to figure out what the heck happened to me in that near-death experience. And then it just I was here about 10 years. I've been here 22 years, but I was here about 10 years on a real intense spiritual journey. And we were teaching inner sensitivity training classes and deep meditation techniques and process-oriented therapies. And about 10 years into that, we started seeing the shifts.
Wow, but I understand one day you were at home, like, minding your own business, meditating, and a spaceship parked over your home, right?
Yeah. Yeah, started communicating with me, and I thought I was talking to, like, some kind of angelic guide or master. And when they told me they were coming from a ship, I about fell out of my chair and decided my imagination had run amok and went outside to, start digging in the ground and plant some trees and things. I didn't even make the front door, and my sisters came up banging on the door asking me if I saw it, and I said, "See what?" And they said, "The ship that was hovering over your house."
Oh, man. Well, surprise, guess what? Your property is a dimensional portal where ETs travel to and from Earth.
I tell you, the last 3 weeks have been so phenomenal here. We've had people coming up every weekend, and the things that we're getting on film, I just got a beautiful light ship right over one of the trees in front of the mountain. And the other guest got these brilliant red ones and daylight footage. And we had a massive triangle ship come over, and just I lost count on how many ships have come over in the past 3 weeks. But it's really intensifying. I think it's happening around the world right now.
I agree. I remember I saw somewhere on one of your websites, and James is all over the place on YouTube, and he has a wonderful video called Contact Has Begun, and his latest book is Ultimate Soul Journey. But there is mention of massive sightings outside of the country, outside of the United States, that are publicly in newspapers and on the news. We just don't hear about it over here, right?
Yeah, over in Costa Rica, it's on the front page news. They had incredible sightings over there, photographs, everything, multiple witnesses, and it's on the front page news. So, and then they have Mexico, which has, I counted in one frame over 200 ships, and
wow.
And so there had to be over 1,000 ships up on this, just one footage. And, they're trying to say, oh, those were geese or something, a flock of geese. But the problem with geese is they don't stop and back up and they just, you know, they're flying along, and they start morphing, you know, into more than one. So you know, it's, you know, we have to use common sense sometimes when you're seeing something that, you know, people try to dismiss it, and they really stretch themselves to find an acceptable reason for what we're seeing. But sometimes the obvious is the answer, and you don't have to go any further.
Well, I know that bird excuse is very common, and I know one time you took a picture of an actual bird and then showed it next to a picture of your UFO, and you could really see they're not the same thing.
Oh, yeah. We had, this weekend, we had a black helicopter here chasing a UFO, and we got the helicopter and the UFO both on film and a still, and, you know, great footage, and, you know, so they know they're here. They had to have seen it. I don't know how they could have missed that one.
Well, you know, you have so much documentation, and your place has been consistently a hot spot for many years. And I understand that you have events happening regularly, almost like nightly out there, even when there's not a conference going on.
Exactly. It's happening. We usually close down Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then open up, you know, Thursday through the weekend. And people come out and see the ships. And this 4th of July weekend, in the next 2 weeks coming up, we'll have probably 300-plus people here, and top, you know, lecturers and authors and physicists. And so I'm sure we're going to have, you know, quite a few fly over and put on a little show for the people on the ground.
And what is it you call it, James? Dazzle duty?
Yeah, dazzle duty. They do it a lot.
Yeah. Well, I just want to mention to everybody that the upcoming event he's talking about is July 4th through the 6th, and it's the 2008 Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference at the Aseti Ranch. And I'm really excited because the Hub and I are going to be out there.
That'll be awesome.
And I've never seen your ranch, and I'm just so excited about it. I've been having dreams about it, so I'm anticipating a really exciting time.
I think a lot of people are coming here in their other bodies, it seems like, because
yes.
Quite a few
yes.
people are.
It is something I've always wanted to look forward to, and my husband especially. We've always been avid sky watchers.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting a chance to be out on your land is going to be like a sort of a, you know, long-term dream come true of ours, something on our bucket list, you know, something you want to do before you transition out of this plane.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, it's pretty amazing, just especially lately, the activity, because we've had people come up here that they first come out and they go, oh, that's a satellite, and they see this white, you know, light sphere going over. And, you know, it'll be in the Earth's shadow and everything, and they're just going, oh, that's just a satellite. And then 5 minutes later, another one comes, and another one, and then they start crossing paths and making right-angle turns and, you know, doing all kinds of bizarre, you know, speeding up, taking off again, and speeds that are so far beyond, you know, anything we have up there. But, you know, and then they start opening up, and the next thing you know, these things come in and drop down low and power up, and they just light the whole sky up, and then that, you know, they become believers and just like the two pilots that were just here from Australia, they saw the ships, they had an incredible experiences, and then they went back to tell people, and you know, all the debunkers just came after them, and they said, whoa, wait a minute, they said, you don't know who you're talking to. And he said, my friend here trains pilots for airlines, and I'm a pilot. And, you know, he said, we know what we're looking at here. And he said, I watch planes all the time and airlines go over and airline, you know, regular jets and things like that. And he says, nothing can match the speeds these things are going. And I guarantee you, if I made a turn like these things did, I would either be passed out or dead, you know. So.
Well, you know, that's the cool thing about you, James. You have so many, you know, so much documentation from people that would have the background to be able to tell that's not a satellite, that behavior is not typical of any planets or any other kind of extraneous light that would be in the sky at night. And it's compiled over a period of years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a sudden phenomena.
Yes,
and I understand that you actually interact with these ships.
Yeah, they do. They come right when they say they are. A lot of times we'll have the cameras out there waiting, and they'll say, we're going to come in at 10 or whatever, and they do, and they come in right on time, and we have footage of these just incredible ships that are pure energy. They look like a kind of like a light sphere, but there's rotating fields on them, and you can see it's pink in the middle and blue on the edges and turquoise on the top and bottom. Mm. And when physicists look at this, they go, you know, I have no idea what that is, but it's definitely not a pie pan, and it's extremely high physics.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Oh, I am so excited to get a chance to actually be on the ground and look up and see this. I've seen orbs before, and I photographed those, but I've never seen anything that I really knew was an actual ET vehicle. Could you tell us, is there a difference between the orb phenomena and the ET phenomena?
Well, you know, they're both happening here. Our whole field just lights up with orbs, and it becomes wall-to-wall orbs. And again, this weekend, we got phenomenal orb pictures. I mean, it looks like a party going on because every color you can imagine, there's gold ones, pink ones, green ones, blue ones, just amazing color spectrum of these orbs coming in. Some are 30 feet wide, and some are like maybe 6 inches wide.
Oh, so, wow. How exciting. You know, I like to. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Well, a lot of people are trying to say that's a water spot on the camera, but if you have a water spot on the camera, it would show up in the picture before. And if it's just dust or rain, it also would show up, you know, in the picture before. And the other thing, too, is that we have these orbs underground, you know, in basements, and we have them going half in and out of solid walls and steel beams, and going behind tree branches where the tree actually casts a shadow on the orb. So these are definitely some distance away, and they're much larger than any kind of a little pollen or dust spot.
Well, see, that's another thing people don't realize until they've experienced orbs themselves, is that there is criteria from which you can judge whether or not that is possibly just a fluke or a camera anomaly, or if it's really actually energy captured by the digital technology.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty easy to tell once you've done it a little bit.
Yeah, you can fake it. You can throw dust up, or you can throw like flour up, or shake pillows and take a picture, and you can get something similar, but they're all the same, and they look kind of bland. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
nothing. And some of the orbs we have such an incredible energy signature. They are such intense light that, you know, there's no way it would just be a reflection off of a camera.
You know, James, I've been taking some pictures in my own backyard here in Arizona, and some of the light forms that I've been catching are so bright that when I look at them on the computer, it's almost like you need sunglasses.
Yeah.
It's like it makes you just laugh. It's so wonderful. I wanted to ask you about a particular somebody that has the name of Blodge or Blodgy.
Oh, Blodgy, yeah.
Who is Blodgy?
Blodgy is a Palladian contact that I've had for quite some time, and she's one of the main people here, you know, from that system that's been helping me. And she's about 430 years old, somewhere around there, and she looks like she's about 25 years old, just drop-dead gorgeous.
My.
And her energies, you just melt in her presence. But they're about 2 million years ahead of us, you know, in evolution or in the time flow as we know it. And they're coming back to assist us in these times.
So she sort of time travels back, right?
Yeah, they can go forward or backward in time. They're totally unlimited, and I don't even know how long this group lives. I know some of the other ones that are a little more primitive live to be 1,200 years plus, but I think this group here, I never even asked them how long, because they're almost eternal. They seem to be around forever.
Why do you think the Palladians in particular seem to be so advanced?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you know why the Palladians in particular seem to be so advanced in their technology and their understanding?
Well, yeah, because basically when we really understand what really happened out there in the universe, life began, you know, millions and millions, if not, you know, even billions of years ago in other systems. And the Palladians are actually offshoots of the Lyrians. And they colonized the Pleiades, the Hades, and the Orion system. And then they came to Earth and Mars and Melona or Maldek. Everybody has a different name for it. But Maldek is now the asteroid belt. It blew up. But they've been around forever, and some of them were here. They started the two colonies of Atlantis and Lemuria, and they left you know, because of the cataclysm. So some of them went underground as well. So we've had extensive technology on the planet, millions of years old.
Could ETs be not just seen in the sky? Could ETs exist within the Earth or under the sea?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they're under the oceans. They're on the inner Earth. They're coming from everywhere. And I've learned to recognize the different crafts. I can tell which group is which just by seeing the shape and the color of their crafts and things like that.
And you know, I think that from what I've said, what I can understand from looking at some of your writings, James, it looks like the ETs have sort of broken off contact with government agencies and are instead choosing to connect more with common everyday people, right?
Yes, they've tried over and over to work with governments, and the problem with most governments or most positions of power like that is it attracts people who that's all they care about, is they're after material wealth and power and notoriety, and they don't have the kind of, like you might say, the moral fiber that's necessary, mm-hmm. you know, to maintain contact and work with them, and they often twist their message or you know, hold it back altogether. So you know, basically, unfortunately, we have made contact for quite some time with some low-level contacts, and those are some of the grays and the other groups out there, because the higher-level beings wouldn't furnish any technology because we're just too primitive and too destructive and warlike right now. And we had a choice to rise to the occasion and, you know, choose universal peace and come together. And we could have aligned with the higher beings, but most of the governments chose, you know, to go for the low-level contact because there was no strings attached to the technologies, which they actually use for the war industry.
Well, you know, it's a shame that happened, but I kind of like the fact that they are willing to communicate with us everyday folks, too.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of is really good. And while I'm on that topic, I know that people want to probably have this question answered. What are some ways to initiate personal contact with UFOs?
You know, I've seen, basically, there's an old saying, the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. And that's very important right now because there's a lot of people coming forward in the field of ufology, and unfortunately on coast to coast lately it's been filled with them. And, you know, they're all demonizing this whole event, and they're making it all ugly, and they're all demons, and they're gearing everybody up for a war with the ETs, you know, it's just unbelievable the things they're saying. You know, and basically that's where their consciousness is.
Yeah.
So that's their reality, and I know if you have a very aggressive, anger, warlike mentality, or a lot of times military consciousness sees everything as the enemy. Everything it doesn't understand goes into the enemy category. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, even in the old black and white movies where they had a theme of extraterrestrials or outer space aliens or whatever, there's that recurring theme down through time, as long as I can remember, as long as I've been alive, of that, you know, the evil, scary, spooky, creepy aliens that want to come and, you know, make war or take our resources or, uh-huh. or inhabit our bodies or something like that. And everything that you talk about is just the opposite.
You know, it's sad, too, because their people are programmed, you know, because of Hollywood and these other movies that, you know, they come to eat us and slice and dice us and harvest us or, like you're saying, exploit us. But it's really not the case. They've been around for thousands of years, and they show up in the frescoes and the cave paintings and, you know, artifacts, and it's very well documented that they've been here forever. And so if they wanted to, you know, consume us and slice and dice us or totally destroy us or whatever, they would have done it a long time ago.
It absolutely, that makes sense. And it's again, the influence, as you call it, Hollyweird.
Yeah.
Holly Weird, you know, influence. And I came across a wonderful woman called Dorothy Izett,
uh-huh.
who's been filming, she describes them as light beings for, I think she's been filming for something like 40 years or something.
Yeah.
And she is a delightful, ordinary grandmother, sweet lady who is totally believable. because of her, because of the fact that she's just a regular person. So has been quietly recording this for all of these years. And she says, like you do, that the ETs and the extraterrestrial beings that are spiritually and technologically advanced beyond us sort of assess us as far as how, what our character and our integrity is before they really begin to open up to you.
It's definitely the case. I mean, they scan us in the field and they see what the group consciousness is all about. And then they decide to come in. A couple of weeks ago when we had a lot of people from the Rompa School come up, and they're very dedicated, very focused, and they knew how to, you know, meditate and maintain a certain level of consciousness. So the ships came in and we had massive triangle ships. And if we have just a bunch of looky-loos up here, basically they stay a little higher, you know, if people haven't done their homework.
Yeah, their dazzle duty is a little higher then when it's looky-loos.
And people aren't, you know, people say they're ready. There's a lot of things that people don't understand. You know, people say they're ready to have contact or whatever. And when the ships appear, some people go running for the trees or they hit the dirt, and other people just, their heart opens and they just feel this incredible bliss and this energy, and they do make the connection. So it's really different for each person, and a lot of people that think they're ready, they aren't really prepared in consciousness for a one-on-one.
Well, I imagine there's no way you could really tell that until you're actually there.
Pretty much. You know, I've seen people that are very spiritually awake people. I mean, even we've had, you know, Kung Fu and Qigong masters and things come here, and when the ships come in, they just freeze. And they have their cameras and everything, and they don't even pick up their cameras. they're totally frozen. So it's quite a shock to your psyche at first, you know, to have these experiences.
And once you've experienced something like that, that's an automatic, I would think, rapid-fire paradigm shift within your concept of reality.
Exactly. They have to go reevaluate everything, you know, after this happens. And also, too, it seems like when you link up with these beings, I was talking to a guy this morning about it, that made contact with this beautiful being, and after that he had all this paranoia and fear and anger come up. And he says, boy, he said, I had no idea I was carrying all that within me. And I said, that's what happens when you connect with these high frequency beings, is that, you know, it's just a matter of physics. It's the lower frequency thoughts and consciousness come right up to the surface. So, you know,
it can be actually uncomfortable then.
Definitely. It can be real uncomfortable. And you know, like you're saying too, not just feeling your own stuff, because it's being, you know, accelerated or amplified by their presence. It also, you know, people, their minds, you know, some people just, their minds just kind of turn over, and they have to go through this total paradigm reality. Like, wait a second, if this is real, then almost everything else I've been told is wrong, and so they have to go through this big shift.
It really does rattle your cage. I know, you know, my husband and I have been students out at Rompa School for about, 4 or 5 years, and particularly the first few times, but even really now, honestly, when we go out there, we have very often, more me than my hub, but reactions of, you know, paradigm shifts each time and vibrational changes, and I'm really, a lot of the time, quite uncomfortable out there, but I still go. I love the information, and I know what's happening is a good thing.
Yeah.
But it isn't a lot of times what people imagine. Those kind of encounters with high vibration would be blissful and, you know, like a, you know, like harp music or something. And it isn't predictable. It's individual, highly individual, isn't it?
Well, you know, the energy is really blissful and very loving. The problem is we don't resonate with it yet.
Yes, exactly.
And so whatever comes up is going to come up within us. And you know, I'm having to deal with that too. I've had people come to the ranch here and stay a little while here, and the next thing you know it, they're projecting all their frustrations and wounds and traumas and angers at their parents, and all the unfinished business comes up. And, you know, most of them work through it. When you tell them what's going on, you say, okay, this is what's going on. Do you want to heal it? You know, most of them will say, yeah, let's do it. And they'll go, yeah, it's my feelings. I need to own it. And they'll go through it, but you always have those groups that will just hold on to their stuff so strong and so deeply, and they'll just go into the projection and blame and war mode, and that seems to be happening a lot, just almost everywhere right now, not just being in the presence of the higher energy, but these new energies coming in right now are pushing everybody's unfinished business right up to the surface, and it's getting intense.
It is intense, but you know what I like about it is you can get a lot accomplished that way.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's kind of like, you know, squirmy, wiggly, oogie boogie, but you know you really have, if you go with it, you really do advance.
Oh, definitely. If you go within and own it and say, mm-hmm. okay, these are my feelings, these are my emotions, and I need to know, you know, which touchstone triggered those, you know, and feel it all the way through and just, you know, there's an old saying, I let go, I let God, or call forward the God within you to release this and let it go. And you can get a healing very quickly and gracefully, or you can hang on to it and wait for it to erupt as a physical problem, you know.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
So we have that option. You know, we can, like one of the guys here was very skeptical, and he actually broke his wrist. And his wrist was in a cast, and he couldn't even touch anything with it. It was really sensitive. And he was very skeptical at first, and then he started filming the orbs, and that blew his mind, and then started seeing the ships. And when the big triangle ship came over, it just totally blew his mind, you know, and turned him around. And then he woke up in the morning, and his wrist was totally healed.
Oh, cool.
And so now he's a staunch believer. You know, he came in as a skeptic, and now he's
wow, what a trip he had.
Yeah, he's got a
awesome
paradigm shift for him.
I wanted to ask this question while I've got you with me, James, because I've thought about it, and I would imagine that other people have too. You know, I've been having some dreams about ETs, and, you know, most of my experiences in this realm seem to happen when I'm asleep rather than awake, but do ETs, can ETs create an experience with an individual, sort of like by mapping or coordinating it within the brain? In other words, I'm not saying this well, but could the experience with an ET be, that reality be within you rather than external?
You know, definitely. We are multidimensional beings, and we exist on a vibrational continuum. And a lot of people think they're just a body and a personality running around, but there's so much more to us. And so when we're sleeping, we're actually going out of body and we're in our spirit body on one of these levels, and we can have all kinds of experiences on those levels, and they can work with us on those levels. But when we come back to the physical, we usually forget. We can't bring it back through the veil. And, you know, unless you've done your homework, you know, you've done a lot of meditation and you've done your spiritual homework, then you start remembering, you know, what's going on. But they definitely work with us, you know, through our higher bodies and, in the dream state and send us inspiration and information and, you know, to help us basically get our lives turned around and the planet turned around.
Can you tell the difference between communication from an ET and an ascended master or a guide or an angel? Is there a difference?
There's not really a difference when you get into the ultra-dimensionals. You know, when you get into the fifth and sixth and seventh dimensional beings, you know, you're talking, they're synonymous, you know, the frequencies are the same and the consciousness is the same, and the messages are, you know, a lot of people ask me sometimes, you know, what the Palladians are saying, and they almost sound like they're coming out of the Bible sometimes, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
how interesting.
They talk about God, and they say God is coming, you know, and they said it's a frequency and it's a force, and, you know, it's neither male nor female, but they talk about these shifts that are coming, and they're very intently spiritual.
You know, that's something I begin to put together in my mind, that you can't really separate the ET phenomenon from the spiritual phenomena.
No, you can't. And, you know, the same goes for some of the low-level contacts. You know, a lot of people have these things they call demonic experiences, and, you know, and you have these grays and these other beings. They're in the infrared, you know, they're low-level stuff going on. And, you know, that's what they're experiencing. They're experiencing some low-level contacts you know what really helped me is that one phrase that, you know, imagination is real on the level of imagination, and in the mental planes, anything goes.
Yeah.
So when we get past the physical, you know, just about anything goes, and there's a lot of beings out there without bodies running around, and we have to learn how to maintain our self-authority and learn how to heal any unseen negative influences and, you know, stay focused on the universal principles that are necessary for a healthy society and environment.
Well, the universal principles of harmony and brotherly, sisterly love, and those concepts are a good way to gauge what's good for you and what isn't good for you with an ET contact or any event in life, really.
Exactly. You know, you have to look at it. You know, when they start giving these vanity feedings and telling you how special you are and that you're more powerful than everybody else and that you're the chosen one or you know, when you start hearing all this nonsense, it's time to change channels, you know.
Oh, absolutely. That's a big fat warning right there.
Yeah.
Whenever you're the only one, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, that you know, the Meyer group has kind of gone off in that direction, and we get a lot of, you know, hate mail and things from that group, and it's unbelievable because they shifted from what were phenomenal photographs and definitely looked like contact going on to I'm the only contactee and I'm the only true prophet of God on the planet, basically, or they call it spirit form. And that pretty much negates everybody else on the planet. And
Excuse me.
The exclusivity factor. Whenever you hear the exclusivity factor going on, like we're the ones that have the truth or the ultimate truth, or we're the, you know, nobody else has this or whatever. Then, you know, or you know, we're your connection to God. You know, everybody has to make their own personal spirit or God connection, and they have their own unique purpose for being here. And nobody can do it for you.
Well, you know, James, you were really prepared for these contacts by that near-death experience in a way, because I know that when you contacted Source, you actually found out that Source, God, has no judgmental desires or need for us to comply or demand sacrifice. He doesn't. What you saw was a complete contrast with the God portrayed by religion.
Exactly. It's what I experienced was just pure, unconditional love and joy and bliss and non-judgment and a consciousness and an energy that was neither male nor female, but, you know, it was the giver of all life, the connector of all life, you might say. And it was nothing like we're told in the religions, you know, because basically most of them are set up to control you know, to be the go-between rather than to empower people to make their own personal connection.
Well, the first time I got that information was at Rumpus School when Michal Ledwith spoke there. And when he talked about these concepts that you learned in your near-death experience, it turned me around in a major way. That is such important information for people to get.
Oh, I agree. I actually have he's going to be speaking here at the conference.
I know.
And I also carry his information on the website because it's so profound. If people really want to know how Jesus became the Christ, you know, get his DVD and get the Deep Deception DVD. And when you're through that, you'll burn all those old images that are the fear and the guilt and the unworthiness that in your band that's keeping you from connecting. And people need to do that. They need to drop the old images, you know, and the fear and the guilt and the unworthiness.
And once you let go of that, that is, again, a paradigm shift of huge proportion. But I can say from experience, after hearing Michal speak, it rocked my world a little bit, but I found it so ultimately liberating and exhilarating, and bewildering at first, but totally liberating.
Yeah, you know, what's hilarious is my mother, you know, I put her through all kinds of things, you know, because she's very materialistic and very, you know, she says, you know, you need to get a briefcase and go to work for the government and cut your hair and shave your beard and she was giving me this big lecture and she goes, you need to look like this guy over here. And it was, actually it was David Morehouse who wrote the book Psychic Warrior or whatever.
Yes, I know who he is.
Yeah, and it was really funny. And then David sees me and he comes over and he goes, James, he goes, good to see you, you know, and gives me a hug or whatever. And he goes, and I go, this is my mother, Wanda, you know, and he goes, Wanda, I wish I could connect with the connections that your son has done. He just blows my mind. You know, and mom's just dropping her jaw going.
I love it. I love it.
So it was perfectly orchestrated, you know.
It is. Took care of that right there.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't have to say a word.
No. But, you know, you have to get beyond all need for acceptance and approval outside of yourself to bring in this information. If you don't, you're just going to get hammered.
I agree, and I think letting go of the approval of others is important in so many ways, too, even just being healthy and living a long time.
Oh, exactly. You know, we can't afford the luxury of hanging on to this old paradigm and this old consciousness, you know, where you're born and you work your tail off and you retire and die at 60 or 65 or whatever. And it's a very deadly game, you know, and all the stress and all the other things that come with it are killers, you know, and so we need to really start looking at our lives and start getting rid of the things that don't bring us joy and start, eating healthy, eating closer to the earth, and just get rid of the stress out of our lives, and you'll see you're much happier, you're healthier. You know, it's just a better way of living.
It's better balance, definitely.
Exactly.
Well, I know that I wanted to touch again on your event, your big doings coming up on the 4th of July out there. It's, once again, it's the 2008 Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference at the Aseti Ranch, and I imagine if somebody wanted to come, they could still get on board, right?
Yeah, they can. Their tickets are selling fast, and we're over half full right now, but we just got a huge flurry of tickets, we still have some space.
And if anybody has any questions about what it was last year, just look on James's site, which is ECETI.org, and there's a video there from the event last year, which is really interesting. The speakers you have lined up are amazing.
Yeah, I try to get heart-centered people that are really dedicated to the awakening and healing process. And, you know, there are a lot of people in the business, you might say, that are basically in it for the business. And
yes, yes.
And there's nothing wrong with making money. You know, I don't
think
there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, if you're going to do it, let's not give the feel-good message and tell people what they want to hear. Let's tell them what they need to hear.
That's what I like about you, James. The first time I heard you speak in Palm Springs, I said, that's my kind of guy. You know, that's exactly what people need to hear. They're letting me know that there's someone on the line for a question. You feel like taking a question?
Sure.
Okay, we have Jim from Fort Lauderdale on the line. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, James, I've heard this scenario that as we head into 2012, like the planet isn't going to make it, and the people that are consciously awake and spiritually ready for the change, it's like we're going to be shifted back in time 100 years back in time. It's as if we didn't even know what happened. Have you heard that scenario, or can you comment on that?
I haven't heard that one. I've heard a lot of channels and people saying that we're going to go through this shift and nothing's going to happen. There's going to be no earth changes and nothing to worry about, and everything from we're going to be blown to bits and into earth. So I don't really believe that, but we are definitely going through changes. Some people are going to learn to bilocate and move to other frequencies and other dimensions. Very few is what it looks like right now, but what I would say is that, you know, if you it's just look at the obvious increase in earthquake and volcanic activity, the severe storms and flooding we're undergoing, and all of this is going to escalate. And when we go into around 2010, the end of 2009, the solar cycle 24 is going to be in full bloom, so we'll probably lose the grid, the electric grid on that. And it's going to keep escalating with the melting of the poles there's going to be upwellings in the ocean where whole continents are starting to rise up. So between now and 2012, we're definitely going to have a partial pole shift as well, and the Atlantic current is going to shut down. We have all this information a lot of it in the Contact Has Begun movie. But it's going to be a rocky road, and the only thing I could suggest to people is that people need to make their own personal God connection and lovingly, without attachment, move on the information that they're getting and seek some high ground and prepare and lovingly, joyously prepare. Get out of the fear and let go of the old world, because a whole new world is coming. And getting through these times is going to be amazing, because on the flip side of this, we're going to have contact with the rest of the universe. And they said the Earth is going to heal as fast as the destruction comes. The healing will come, which is good news. So it's really worth hanging around for.
Okay, perfect. That answers my question. Thank you, folks, and happy 4th of July. I wish I could be up there and see a different kind of fireworks. It really sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
It is going to be a different kind of fireworks, isn't it, James?
You know, yeah, the local people here let off fireworks down at the school, and all the time they're doing it, the ship was hovering right over the school. But it's funny because it's such a strong Baptist community, nobody wants to talk about it, you know. But we actually have it on film. We have a ship just hovering right over the, flying over the area there.
Now, if that's not a sense of humor, I don't know what is. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they flew over, we had a guy on Marley's, I think it's Bob Marley's son, Ziggy or whatever, is playing here. And the announcer that was announcing it, I said, hey, if a ship flies over with that many people in the gorge, will you announce it? Will you say, hey, everybody, look up? He goes, oh, yeah, I'll definitely do it. And I said, okay. So sure enough, this ship flies over this whole concert, and it's just bouncing up and down above him.
Wow.
And he's looking up at it, and he's going, oh, my God, you know, and he just totally chickened out. He didn't announce it, but that would have been an awesome experience to have, you know, that many people look up and see this ship bouncing over there.
Oh, wouldn't it though? Well, I'm pretty excited about just seeing ships with however many people are at your conference over the 4th of July weekend.
Oh yeah, I tell people if you're paying attention, you're going to see them. We had one woman send me an email and she says, you know, I went there and I didn't see any ships, and I remember this woman. Because there was another group that was playing songs, and which is fine. I mean, they were having a good time, and they were playing songs, and they had a big light in the middle of them so they could read the sheet music, and they're all singing oldies and just having a really good time. But they spent the whole evening doing that, and they weren't looking up.
Oh, how funny!
Yeah, and I said, wait a minute. I remember you. You were with the music group, weren't you? You were there singing. And she said, yeah. And I said, well, do you think while you're looking into that light and singing that whole time, if you would have looked up, maybe you might have saw something? Because we saw so many ships flying. Another group of us went off away, a little bit away where it was dark, and we could look up, and we had just one ship after the other fly over and make turns and do all kinds of things. And we had a metallic ship hover right over the field, and one of the guy's got a picture of that. It's on the website. So, and then we had two massive light ships come over and meet. You know, one came from the north and one came from the south, and they met over the top.
Oh, how beautiful.
It was right after the Cross Circle movie.
that comment you made about the people with the sheet music and the lights, you know, when I talked to Randy and Hope Mead, they were saying, too, that when you go on an orb party, if you're going out looking to take pictures of orbs, definitely go with a light heart and be playful. And it's the people that go with a serious intention, and they have to sit in a certain posture and make a certain sound and draw a graph and a chart to be able to see the orb. They're the ones that have trouble with it.
Oh yeah, you know, piousness just doesn't work. And
no.
And what I understood is that when I experienced the source in my own near death experience, I realized that it didn't even have an ego to judge, and it was so far beyond that, and it was just pure bliss and joy. And the closer we can get to that, and get back to that innocence which we've lost, and we've had it stamped out of us through social consciousness, is the more the rest of the world is going to unfold for us. But I love what Jay-Z, she has a wonderful video. We actually carry that on the side as well. I think it's UFOs in the brain, or I'm not sure, but she talks about the science behind that and how you actually see with your brain and you don't see with your eyes. And if people say, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, your neural net, if it's not developed and you're very skeptical and negative, a lot of times you're not going to see it because you've chosen not to.
You made your own filter.
Exactly. You know, nothing can get through your filter.
And really, that's so simple. People, Jay-Z's, I have that movie, and it is awesome. She's so great in it and explains so many things that that really make sense about the whole ET phenomena. It destroys the Hollywood image and all of that stuff because she explains it scientifically, intelligently. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, like you said, it simply is a matter of we filter it. It's our eyes are like the lens of a camera, Jay-Z says, and sees everything. It's our brain that filters out information for whatever reason. Either we're busy with mortgage payments and everyday life, social conditioning, et cetera, or we just have a block in our mind that doesn't fit.
Exactly. That happens quite a bit. And you know, what's nice about up here, just about everybody sees them. I mean, you can try to explain them away, but almost everybody has it.
This is what's so exciting about your ranch to me, James. It's just that. Everybody gets to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole bunch of people seeing it.
Yeah, I just got an amazing picture. I can't wait to get it up on the site. I just sent it to the webmaster, but it's a definite beautiful light ship, and it's got little balls of energy underneath it, and it's hovering over a tree, and it has the mountain in the background, so there's really good reference points. And then we have a black helicopter being chasing a UFO too as well, so that all happened this weekend. It was amazing.
Oh, it's so awesome. I'm so excited about getting up there, and the work you're doing is so beautiful, truly, because as I was saying, anybody from any walk of life or any location can encounter this. And your work presents it that way, that this is available and accessible to everyone. It's just a matter of an open heart and a loving attitude and a joyful mental state for you to be able to have the encounter, even if you're not at the ranch at Mount Adams. You know, you can still have this encounter, but I'm excited about being in the group atmosphere and, you know, seeing where you live and the mountain itself. I'm so curious about.
Oh, yeah, it's a little piece of heaven up here, you know.
The energy there hasn't it been compared kind of to Mount Shasta?
You know, it has. It's a lot more graceful, and it hasn't been commercialized or anything. So the energy is much cleaner and a lot more graceful. And you know, this whole field fills up with orbs, with light spheres wall to wall, and people have, you know, healings, all kinds of things happen out in this field. So it's a pretty amazing place.
And interesting how you were, without even really having a UFO interest, sort of led to this location of 70 acres near Mount Adams. And you're almost, in a way, you preserve this land so that it can be pure and not become commercialized.
You know, exactly. And when people come up here and they film the ships, I tell them, look, you know, this is public knowledge. So you can't hoard your, you know, your photos or your film. You have to share it, and everybody cooperates. We get a really good group here.
I think we sort of just attract it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of you attracting it. So let me just give you a shameless plug again, because we're coming up on the end, unfortunately, because I could talk to you for 2 hours real easy, James. But James has created a CT, which is Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence. His website is a CT, that's ECE. ti.org. He has a fabulous video out called Contact Has Begun. We've watched it several times. It's very well done, very informative. And his latest book, Ultimate Soul Journey, I read that. It's awesome. It's a really good book. And his upcoming event, 2008 Science Spirit and World Transformation Conference, July 4th through the 6th at the Ascidi Ranch, which is cutting-edge heart and service-oriented speakers. And as you say, James, what other conference takes place in a dimensional portal where ETs come and go from the Earth?
Exactly.
I mean, what's not to like?
It's a hard act to follow on that.
I'll say it is. So if anybody wants to contact James for more information, just log on to ACETECETI.org. You can communicate with him that way. And you can view his videos and some of his speaking and check out his trailers from his movie. And thanks so much, James, they're telling me you have 5 minutes. Maybe there's somebody out there with a question. If there is, go ahead and call in real quickly. Otherwise, James and I will talk a little bit more. We had a slow start this evening, a little bit of audio difficulty. It seems I have that whenever I have you or Randy and Hope Mead on.
You know, I've had that happen where I've gone to studios to do filming, and their motherboard blew up and one of their cameras blew up. And it doesn't matter how far away they are or if I'm there or not, just all kinds of weird high strangeness starts happening.
Well, you know, I had Randy on Hope on not too long ago, and we were waiting to go on air, and it was a slow start, kind of like with you. And Randy said to me, "I'll tell you this, Tall Cat, you do not want to have James anywhere near you when you're setting up audio equipment." You know, he's a musician, and I'm sure he's, you know, encountered your kaboom electrical vibe or whatever it is.
Yeah, I was charging batteries for everybody out in the field here. Their cameras kept dying, and they didn't have any batteries, and I wouldn't give them to me, and they handed them to me, and I gave them back, and they were fully charged. They couldn't believe it.
I love it. Well, you know, even when I was with Hope and Randy on the radio that night, we had a great talk and everything went great. And just before we got out the air, there was a big like crash, and you know, we lost contact, and then they put me back on. And you know, I said it must be the energy of the you know, the invisible tourist, as his music is called, one of his tracks on his CD is Invisible uh-huh. Tourist. You know, the invisible guests. And so after we got back on air and we finished up and said goodbye, and I went to the kitchen for some water, and I came back, and the room where I was doing the radio show was full of mist or plasma. And so, you know, whenever I'm with you guys, I have these cool, interesting little phenomena things that happen.
Yeah, a lot of that precedes contact. They call that plasma field or Pleiadian mist. Everybody has a different name for it. But I know right when I'm having contact, this plasma starts appearing around me. And I've also seen it happen in the field where this plasma energy starts manifesting. And then I've had beings step out of it, and we've actually photographed them. And ancient, wise beings, you know, coming, you know, just stepping in from another dimension.
That's so beautiful. And the appearance of, for those that, you know, maybe are new to the UFO stuff or even not so new, the appearance of intelligences from beyond our universe or our planet, they shouldn't expect to see someone that looks like us with two arms and two legs and a head and a body, right?
Yeah, a lot of times the first contacts are usually beautiful females because we don't, you know, get defensive, you know, with that experience.
Yes.
And as we get over that and start moving it, they start letting us see the other ones. And I've seen short little beings. Their gravity is real intense on their planet, so they're very stocky and short. I've seen extremely tall, thin beings. I've seen beings that are felines. They're humanoid felines. Just a whole menagerie out there, and it's just incredible, you know, what, you know, the Creator has done. The diversity throughout the universe is just mind-boggling, but, you know, we have to prepare ourselves to be able to handle that kind of an experience and not demonize it or fear it.
Exactly. It's a tendency within us, sort of a natural tendency, to want to put our faith on another entity.
Exactly.
You know, we want them to match us, and it's a shame because actually then we miss the variety, which is amazing and beautiful.
Yeah, it you know, you can feel the intent of a being. Once you become sensitive, you can feel their nature and their intent, and that's what we have to develop, our own telepathic abilities, and be able to sense the nature of beings, because they aren't all going to look like us. And there might be some bizarre creatures out there that are extremely enlightened and loving and could assist us in great ways, but as long as we greet them with fear and have all these programs, you know, religious programs running in our minds, we're not going to be able to have any, you know, benefit out of it.
Well, I guess it's been maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I was with a shaman one time, and I saw some beings that I assume were from you know, another planet. I'm not too sure, but they certainly didn't look anything like us. And my comment to them was, "Oh, you guys are funny looking," and they were so cool. They said, "Well, you look pretty funny to us."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we do.
So, you know, I think the variety and the possibilities is like flowers, lots of different flowers.
Yeah, you see a crystalline light being appear, you know, and they look at us as these ugly bags of water, you know, or meat packets down here.
Chemical you know. Bags.
Yeah.
They tell me my time is ending, and James, I thank you so much for being on the show. I'm so looking forward to the 4th of July weekend, getting to meet you in person and hang out up there on the ranch. And if anybody else wants to check into that event, go ahead and log on to aceti.org, and you can find out about more about that and about James's beautiful work. And this is probably, I guess this is it for now. I'm going to be, I'll actually be up with James the next time my show comes on, so you'll see me the next time on 71408. Yoga Alexis, the beautiful channeler, will be on for the next 2 weeks. She's wonderful and worth listening to. So that's all for now. I'll see you next time. That's July 14th. And I'm sending you home with the CD Hidden Worlds, Track 5, Invisible Tourist, in honor of our ET brothers and sisters. Bye now.